Earth, sky.
People are just a little bit more aware, or a lot more aware now, of the economic impact and the societal impact of large and sustained volcanic eruptions. It's a natural phenomenon. It's not going to go away. It's going to happen. And as we inhabit more and more of the airspace and of the ground, land space, and really the coastal areas, it's going to affect us.
You're listening to research scientist David Pieri of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Pieri's job is to help keep air travel safe. He does that with an instrument called ASTER on NASA's Terra satellite to track the aftermath of volcanic eruptions, plumes of ash that shoot high into the stratosphere. Pieri spoke more about keeping planes safe by watching volcanoes from space with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Pieri, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Well, thank you, Jorge. I appreciate that.
So why study volcanoes from space?
Well, gosh, you know, that would be an hour show in itself, just talking about that. But I'll give you the short version. I mean, volcanoes have been a threat to humanity since people have begun to walk the Earth. And, you know, you can think back to the classic eruption of Pompeii and you know, ash and hot rock and all kinds of noxious, terrible, toxic gases coming out of the Earth. And these things happen still with about the same frequency, and they can be very big, like a Pinatubo eruption, which can put ash up into the stratosphere and have global effects affecting air traffic and, of course, affecting air quality and the environment locally around the volcano. So these are big, dangerous features that manifest the internal energy of the Earth at the surface. And so we want to know about them. Now, the mission that I'm on, called ASTER, which is Advanced Spaceborne Thermal Emission and Reflection Radiometer, a real mouthful, joint with the Japanese. We look at things down to 15 meters across. So we have a number of tools from orbit. We can look at these big eruptions, and the real important thing is to be able to detect them, the fact that they happen, especially in remote areas, and then also to monitor them and to understand how much material they're putting in the atmosphere. And that's all important because of the things I mentioned, and particularly these days, airline traffic and other kinds of air traffic up at 30,000 feet are very severely affected by ash.
How does NASA's Terra satellite see what volcanoes are doing on the ground, on Earth, and what is NASA looking for with these satellites?
Well, we have several dozen volcanologists who use the data who are experienced in remote sensing as well as volcanology. I guess I could say I'm one of them. We take data at visible wavelengths, much like you would see with your own eyes, and then we have infrared capability as well, both in the short wavelength infrared and the longer wavelength infrared. Now, the long wavelength infrared is basically heat radiation coming up from the surface of the Earth. So the infrared capability with ASTER allows us to map these features in detail. Now, ASTER looks at the Earth at 15 meters per picture element. That is the smallest thing that can be resolved in the picture, is a picture element. So we can resolve, for instance, the summit craters of volcanoes. We can resolve individual lava flows. We can resolve areas where vegetation has been destroyed. We can look at areas of devastation. Now, the other instrument one of the other instruments on Terra is the moderate resolution imaging spectrometer. It has many more bands than ASTER, and it looks through visible near-infrared and the thermal infrared as well, but at much lower spatial resolution. However, you get a synoptic view or an overall view of thousands of kilometers, where ASTER can only see a postage stamp that's 60 by 60 kilometers across. MODIS can look at areas thousands of kilometers across, and it looks at the whole Earth every day.
Dr. Pieri, would you explain to us, why are volcanoes dangerous to airplanes which fly way above at 30,000 feet?
Well, when we really get concerned is when we have a large explosive eruption. That material gets up in the air and the atmospheric winds take it, particularly in the stratosphere. The ash will settle down to about 10,000 meters or so. And unfortunately, that's the most efficient operating altitude for aircraft. And of course, if you're unlucky enough to actually penetrate a plume, and that's happened many times, and three times with 747 aircraft, where we've actually had simultaneous all engine failures. That is, four engines failed simultaneously. The readout eruption in 1989 is a particularly harrowing case where this airplane was descending into what looked like haze, and a volcanic plume from the readout volcano, and this was December 1989, December 15th to be exact, and the pilot, actually it was a female pilot, it was the only female captain that KLM had at the time. She had a wonderful flying job, wonderful piloting job. She descended into what looked like a haze layer and then got smell of sulfur in the cockpit and then realized that her engines were failing. And I'll tell you why they failed in a second. But basically, four engines flamed out and she lost power and the plane started to descend. And they frantically tried to restart the engines and they had multiple engine restarts. I think they tried seven times unsuccessfully, falling from 25,000 feet down to about 12,500, where they leveled the plane out. They got one engine relit, and then the other three came online, and they got the engines restarted. And they leveled out at about 12,000 feet after about a minute and a half, and they had fallen quite a distance and leveled out just above the mountains. And they were about 500 feet above the terrain, which was at 12,000 feet at that point. So it was a very, very close call. Now, what made the engine stop? Well, ash is very finely ground up rock. It's very abrasive, so you get abrasion in the engine. That's not good. Now, on top of that, what happens is the ash will melt on the turbine blades. Turbine blades can operate up to their own, practically at their own melting temperature, if not above. So these blades are coated with special coatings and also are drilled with holes. And the ash will come in and flash melt on the blade, and then get cooled by the cooling air and then solidified, so you get a ceramic glaze on the blade. You also erode the thermal coatings, which doesn't help. But now the blade can't cool itself. It's a pervasive problem, and that's the big deal. The injection of the ash up into the atmosphere and the capturing the ash by the global wind circulation system, that projects the ash in such a way that now it's the flying public is very vulnerable. And so we're trying hard to figure out ways to detect it, to track it, predict where it's going to go, and also to mitigate the effect to the airplanes.
You've been listening to David Pieri, Staff Research Scientist in the Science Division of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He uses an instrument called ASTER for Advanced Spaceborne Thermal Emission and Reflection Radiometer on NASA's Terra satellite. Our thanks today to the Terra mission, helping us better understand and protect our home planet. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.